Riggs versus the NTSB. Round one begins today. Piper and the state of Florida amend economic goals. And Delta and Virgin Atlantic launch a new joint venture. This is Aero News for Wednesday, December 12, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Aviation's public enemy number one, David Riggs, is set to appear before NTSB Administrative Law Judge Patrick Garrity in Gardena, California today in the first step of his defense against the emergency revocation order from the FAA that he surrender his pilot certificate. Under the law in the U.S., we all have the right to face our accusers, but on the eve of his NTSB hearing, Riggs went a step further and filed a lawsuit against three of the witnesses who have provided testimony to the FAA and who may be asked to appear against him in the upcoming NTSB hearing. The suit names Sandy Young, Gary Gustafson, and Mike Smith, who were all present on May 18th at the site and time of the fatal accident that claimed Riggs' associate Doug Gillis and his passenger, 65-year-old Richard A. Winslow of Palm Desert, California. The three have told the FAA that they paid a fee for a flight package that included a ride in the L-39s and a souvenir video of the flight. In his suit, Riggs alleges the sole purpose of the flights was for filming, and he's previously claimed the flights were legal as they were being conducted under a cinematic waiver. The suit was filed on Monday, and persons close to the case questioned the timing and the possibility that it might be considered witness intimidation, as the three witnesses named in the suit may be called to testify before the NTSB judge. Riggs' hearing begins today and could continue into Wednesday. The Florida Department of Economic Opportunity and Piper Aircraft have agreed to amend an earlier contract to retain the company's operations in Florida and increase investment in aircraft manufacturing facilities. Because the company is staying in Florida and has exceeded by about $30 million its capital and research and development investment obligations under the agreement, the state of Florida will permit Piper to retain half of approximately $6.6 million in economic development incentives already awarded to the company. They were scheduled to pay those incentives back. Piper will also be permitted to keep the other half, or about $3.3 million, in previously awarded incentives if it meets certain employment obligations for the next 4 years. Currently, Piper is maintaining more than 650 full-time equivalent positions, generating more than $40 million in annual payroll. The amendment calls for Piper to retain a specified number of 650 full-time equivalent positions with an annual average salary of at least $46,500 for the next 4-year period. For each year the company meets the minimum employment threshold, its obligation to repay the approximately $3.3 million already received will be reduced by 25%. If Piper fails to meet the minimum employment threshold in any year, then it must repay significant amounts plus penalties. To date, Piper's investment in the community through product development cost and capital expenditures has already directly returned more than $9 for every $1 invested by the state and local governments in economic development incentives for the company and its employees. Delta Airlines and Virgin Atlantic Airways Limited have reached an agreement for a new joint venture that the companies say will create an expanded transatlantic network and enhance competition between the UK and North America, offering greater benefits for customers traveling on those routes. As part of this joint venture agreement, Delta will invest $360 million in Virgin Atlantic, acquiring a 49% stake currently held by Singapore Airlines. Virgin Group and Sir Richard Branson will retain the majority 51% stake, and Virgin Atlantic Airways will retain its brand and operating certificate. The airlines will file an application with the U.S. DOT for antitrust immunity, which will allow a closer relationship and coordination on schedules and operations. The partnership allows both carriers to offer a greatly expanded network at Heathrow and to overcome slot constraints, which have limited the growth and competitive capability of both airlines. The two carriers will operate a total of 31 peak day round-trip flights between the UK and North America, 23 of which will operate at London Heathrow. The enlarged network will benefit customers of both carriers by providing greater access to a broader network, improved connectivity, and convenient booking options. Delta and Virgin Atlantic customers will be able to earn and redeem miles across Delta's SkyMiles and Virgin Atlantic's Flying Club frequent flyer programs and will have reciprocal access to the Delta Sky Club and Virgin Atlantic Clubhouse airport lounges. Free Flight Systems announced Monday the immediate availability of its Explorer receiver, an affordable, high-performance data link weather receiver with upgradeability to full ADS-B in weather and traffic data capabilities when installed with a certified ADS-B out transmitter. Based on Free Flight Systems' certified Ranger family of 978 MHz ADS-B systems, Explorer receives the full ADS-B flight information service broadcast that includes graphical weather. Explorer connects wirelessly to any suitable display, including the iPad, running Free Flight Systems' free app, and with other supported software, including WingX Pro. The Explorer system is permanently installed and includes an externally mounted ADS-B antenna for unimpeded reception of broadcast data. The Explorer solution can be integrated with a certified ADS-B out transmitter as required in advance of the December 2019 equipage deadline. With a certified transmitter installed, the Explorer system becomes a full-featured FISB receiver that enables display of weather and accurate traffic data. Wind Aero News continues. Lake Michigan gives up a World War II Wildcat. The X-47B passes its first taxi test. And Sully says experience is best.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, December the 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. An FM-2 Wildcat that had lain on the bottom of Lake Michigan since December 28, 1944, has been recovered and will soon become a restoration project at the National Museum of Naval Aviation in Pensacola, Florida. The airplane was lost during training exercises near the end of World War II. The pilot had been practicing carrier landings on a converted steamship when it experienced an engine problem on its third takeoff and went into the water. The online site, the local Glenview, reports that the pilot was rescued from the plane as it sank about 45 miles southeast of Waukegan, Illinois. He went on to complete his training successfully. The website reports that a local group hopes that after the plane is restored, it can be returned to Illinois and placed on permanent display at a proposed museum on the site of the former Naval Air Station Glenview. Sailors aboard the aircraft carrier USS Harry S. Truman and personnel from the Navy Unmanned Combat Air System Program Office Integrated Test Team made history December the 9th as they taxied a X-47B Unmanned Combat Air System demonstrator aircraft for the first time aboard a carrier. During the test phase, UCAS deck operators used an arm-mounted control display unit to remotely control the aircraft. Garrett Everson, one of the operators who controlled the X-47B, said the UCAS demonstrator displayed excellent integration with Truman's flight deck. The X-47B is scheduled to complete taxi testing before Truman returns to its home port in Naval Station Norfolk. Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger has gone on the record as saying that a new rule requiring pilots to have 1,500 hours in their logbooks before becoming an airline pilot are on the mark and should not be changed because of a supposed looming pilot shortage. Responding to an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Sullenberger wrote in a letter to the editor that if he and First Officer Jeff Skiles had been less experienced when their A320 ingested birds into both engines, leading to the miracle on the Hudson, the outcome might have been much different. He said the specter of a regional airline pilot shortage is a myth perpetrated by the airlines to allow them to offer lower pay. He wrote that newly hired relatively low-time pilots flying as first officers in regional jets are actually getting on-the-job training with people sitting in the back of the airplane. Sully says that instead of lowering the standards for pilots, the airlines should offer wages and working conditions that will attract well-qualified pilots. Last week, it was over Washington, D.C. This week, the North American Aerospace Defense Command conducted exercise flights over Minnesota, just northwest of Duluth, on Tuesday, practicing intercept and identification procedures. The fighter jets were scheduled to fly near Sturgeon River in close proximity to military or military contracted aircraft, taking on the role of an intercepted aircraft. The jets are often visible or audibly noticeable to the general public during such operations. Flights are generally scheduled in the early morning hours, but can be delayed by inclement weather. With those tests in mind, here's hoping that Santa's sleigh is equipped with a full-featured ADS-B so that he'll get updated traffic reports come Christmas Eve. Better yet, let's hope NORAD takes Christmas off, as I'd hate to think of NORAD trying to intercept a jolly old fat man in a sleigh. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.